Our next two guests on today's Express Yourself are two local authors with a reading and book signing coming up at the Carbondale Branch Library. Linda Flynn has a new young adult novel called Dream Glasses, book one of the Rose Thorn series. Welcome to Express Yourself, Linda.
Hi.
And Corey Carnan has a new children's book, Secrets of the Fairy Cave. Corey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, reading the dedication to both of your books, I understand you guys know each other.
We know each other quite well. Yes.
Yes, we've been working together with the Carbondale Writers Group that meets the second Monday of every month in the community room at the public library. And then we took a self-publishing class together that was held through CMC up in Aspen. And expanded our friendship even more.
That's right. Linda was a very big help for me, too, in my publishing and working on the book as well.
Are these both your first books?
Yes.
Actually, no. My first book was a collection of my grandmother's recipes, and it's a family cookbook. And it was done a little bit differently than this, but it was a self-published Create Space book.
Okay. So both of these books self-published?
Yes.
Yes.
Trials and tribulations associated with that, or was it an easy process?
Well, to me, it was a real learning experience. It was a wonderful learning experience to know how to really go about doing all the formatting and then working with Create Space. And even when we did our ebook, working with a Kindle form and getting all the formatting done. And in my book, I actually have some pictures, and for me that was a big challenge to actually get the pictures totally sized correctly for the way that they wanted the pictures to be to go on for an ebook, and then also for the print version. That was another challenge to do all of that and making sure that the exposures of the pictures turned out right too. So learned a lot.
Huh. And Linda, your regard?
Well, I came from an IT background.
Oh.
So some of the concepts were quite simple to do. Working for me, the cover and the back page layout were a little bit trickier because I haven't done a lot of graphic stuff.
Uh-huh.
So fitting all that correctly.
Uh-huh. Now, did you guys proofread your own text? Did you farm that out? Did you edit your own? How did that
work?
We
pretty much worked together at doing a lot of our rewriting and editing together. Mm-hmm. And a few other ladies with us helped us do a lot of that.
Hmm. We did that. I also use the software Pro Writing Aid, which does... it does some basic editing. It's going to identify spell checks. It's going to identify if you've got too many repetitions of the same word. It identifies passive voice and different things like that. So there's a number of different editing things that go through there. And so between doing that and self-editing and the four of us that work together, going through and pointing out errors and rereading. And then when you get your first proof copy and you go through it and you go,
oh, that was amazing. How many copies you would go through to correct. Here you thought everything was fine. And you open up the book and you realize, I can't believe I made that big error. Or you're finding other things that you go back and redo. And then again, Create Space was so great about sending the reprint again to us to relook, to look it over again. It was very helpful.
So your publisher is based in Colorado or somewhere else?
No, Create Space, I'm trying to think where they are located.
Actually, they have publishing houses all over, but they're something that you use through Amazon, just like the KDP Kindle
Direct and things like
that.
Yeah,
Kindle Direct is the Amazon version for the Kindle reading books. And you can just basically, those are both services that you can use free, or you can choose to hire staff at Amazon to help you at any point during the route if you want to do that.
Okay.
Right. They're very helpful, very friendly, very helpful the whole step along the way. Because I did have trouble at first, like with the pictures, like I mentioned. And I was constantly... Well, I did have to call them a few times to say, when I see it back, in the computer, it's not right. And the gentleman that I would be talking to, he would be reassuring me that, let's just wait and have it printed again, and then you can see. So you do have to, once in a while, contact them. But they're very, very easy. And
Well, let's talk about specifics a little bit. Corey, starting with you and your book, it's based on the Fairy Caves at Glenwood Adventure Park. Is it still called the Fairy Caves?
Well, there is the Fairy Caves. Uh-huh. That's the historic Fairy Cave. Yeah. And then below that is the barn. Okay. And yes, I did give the cave tours for the Glenwood Adventure Park and did that for a couple years. And because of the giving the tours, you learn different stories to kind of entertain the kids. And, of course, you learn all about the wonderful formations and how to really explain the formations that people are seeing and point them out. So that's pretty much how it all started for me. And when, you know, one evening I just happened to have finished a nice talk with one of our lead guides, and he said something about one of the caves one night as I left. And it was a really interesting thought that he said. And sure enough, that night I came home and had a dream, and the whole stories of everything that I had been showing on the tour came together in the story. And I was able to, in the dream, was able to put it all out in the dream. And so, like, the children that are in the story would be, you know, having their own accidental adventure. And that's how they go in into the caves, and they find out all about the origins of the stories that they had heard on a cave tour. And again, they see the wonderful formations in the cave, and they learn more about that. And so actually in the book, I have at the very end of the book showing chapter, what I call the cave facts. And so that's where all the pictures of all the different formations, giving descriptions about the caves and these wonderful formations that are actually there. And so it just was wonderful.
And in the story, those features in the cave come alive.
Yes,
to these
and
kids.
That's what I wanted. And that's what I had in the dream, was that they did come alive for them.
Now, are there children in your life that you tested this story on? Did you read it aloud to them?
You know, I really do need to sit down and read it more to some children. I have been reading it to more of the adults. But yes, I hope to when we have our time at the library in Carbondale on the 16th. Uh-huh. So I hope that there'll be more children there.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because the reading is Wednesday the 16th.
Wednesday
what time
the
does 16th?
That start? 6 o'clock. Is that right, Linda?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Huh. Interesting. So you're appealing to the young at heart when you're reading to the adults.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I was really impressed with not just the fact that it's a sort of magical realist story for the kids, but you have the facts, too, about the cave.
Yes.
And I, you know, I'm guessing that a lot of the people listening have never been there.
Oh,
and it's I remember that's one of the places I went to when I first came here a long time ago. And that was way before it was the Glenwood Adventure Park.
Correct.
But they still gave tours, and it's quite an amazing place.
So it is.
To set a story in there is really kind of cool.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's just so beautiful. All the formations and everything about the caves are very, very beautiful. And the way everything's been set up that they've done has been such wonderful work.
I imagine that where can people find your book?
Well, they can find it right there at the Adventure Park.
Say,
it's up in their gift shop, and I do have it in a few other locations in Glenwood Springs and through Carbondale and up through Elgin Bell and into Basalt, and now even up into Redstone. Yeah, the Redstone Grill.
That's great.
Yes, so we do have it around.
All right, Linda, let's move to your book. It is called Dream Glasses, because there are dream glasses in the story, and maybe you could tell our listeners what happens when you put those glasses on.
Well, they're kind of crazy glasses, because you put them on, and they allow you to see things that they display things that are either hidden in your life or passions that you have or fantasy type things. And at least that's what happens for Liz when she puts them on. And she puts them on and she sees herself in these amazing bakery situations. And it's real to her. She can smell the things. She can see the things. And as soon as she takes them off, everything's gone and she's back to back to wherever she was. And her job was to evaluate these glasses to see if the company wanted to actually market them. She was in product research and development, and she pitched her glasses at the same time that, I should back up, because she was receiving these cookies on her desk. They were being left on her desk every morning. And one day she walked in and was eagerly looking for this orange-flavored cookie, and it wasn't there. There was a note instead. And to the writer of the note promised to give her the recipe for the cookies if they would meet. And she was really torn. Do you go meet a stranger or do you not? And it was the convergence of all these three events, the working on the project, the vision she was seeing with the glasses, the note, and the cookies. I guess that's four. And those things led her on an adventure to determine what her dreams were and helped her get out of a job that she felt rather stuck in or trapped. I figured that most people can relate to being in something that they feel trapped in, whether it's a job, a business dealing, a relationship, a financial situation, or whatever. And this was her dream, to figure out what her passion was and what was going to make a difference for her.
And what she ended up doing was going to Paris. Of course, you go to the City of Light, right?
Exactly.
And she wanted to learn to be a baker. And this person who left the cookies turned out to be an acquaintance from her.
Yes, it did.
From her past, yes, earlier in her life.
It did. And so she ended up going to Paris and working with Sabine in the Bleu Sucre, which in truth is a bakery. Oh. In Paris, and it's a bakery that's located across the street from a park, and the park is instrumental, and the bakery is instrumental, and that whole neighborhood is really special and comes to life for Liz and really reveals to her who she is and what her passions are, and makes a difference in her life.
Well, and may I say, it comes to life for the reader, too. Really great details about the city of Paris and the idea of sitting down to a meal with your friends and sharing the day that had just passed, and French culture in general, art and food and neighborhoods. And
the whole European scene on eating is really different, I think, than in this country. We tend to go out to eat, and maybe we want a bunch to drink with it, and it's about what you consume. And over in Europe, it's more about who you're with and sharing the evening with them and talking with them and taking your time and savoring the food and the flavors and the atmosphere, and I tried to create that.
It's no wonder that French people look down on Americans, isn't it? I mean, you know, and you illustrate that quite well in your book, I have to say, because Liz has an unpleasant encounter with an arrogant Frenchman who thinks she's the ugly American.
Well, actually, I have an older friend who very gratefully talked to me about her experience when she went to France, and she talked about her time in Paris. And I stole those lines from her experience.
Well, you've obviously been to Paris.
Actually, I have not.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you did a great job.
Well, thank you. I've lived in Europe. I've been in Germany. I've traveled other places, but I've not been to Paris. But believe that if you do enough research, you can make something real for your readers.
Well, this is book one of the Rose Thorn series, so I guess there's more to come.
Is it
building on this story? Same characters?
It will build on this story. It will use the same characters, and it will deal with some of the facts that even once you get things figured out, sometimes they don't all fall in place quite as nicely as you think they're going to, and it's how Liz deals with that.
Okay. Yeah. And Corey, what's...
And I'm working on another book with the same characters in this book, and that they also have another adventure, and it's going to be based on Aspen Mountain. So
you have something about being underground.
kind of underground, a little bit maybe over on top of the ground. So that's what I'm trying to get across. And now I'm doing some research about the mining period up in Aspen that's relating to what's gone on Aspen Mountain, especially around the area known as Turtlet Park.
Okay.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
That's great.
It's quite interesting.
It's always interesting to read local books about local places.
Yes.
With even local people that might be recognizable.
Right. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit more about your event. It's at the Carbondale Library, Wednesday the 16th. What time did we say
six
that was?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Yes.
And you'll be reading from your books?
We'll potentially be reading. We're supposed to be talking about the publishing process, the writing process, and answering questions that people might have along with having our books available for purchase.
Okay.
And it'll be the two of us plus Jill Shealy.
Jill Shealy will be on next week's program.
All right.
Oh,
so she'll be talking about her book, which I can't recall the title of just off the top of my head. I don't think it's one of her Fraser books, though.
No.
She actually has got a new dog she's working with at this point that is her daughter's dog.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys all know each other.
We all know each other, and we actually really started to know each other when we were taking the course up at CMC, the self-publishing course. So Jill was there and another friend, Maria, and then the two of us. And because of that, we just kind of had bonded where we came together and worked together on our stories. And each of us, you know, sat and read and each of us helped each other with places that we felt could be having some improvement, which was also very helpful.
It sounds like that course is worth taking.
I thought the course was.
Uh-huh. There was a lot of good information.
It was.
And for us, the bond that was created and the friendship is critical. I think that for any writer, I think associating with other writers is inspirational. Sometimes it's really humbling. But I think that it's a really good experience, and I would encourage other writers that are out there that aren't sure if they want to come out of the closet yet or if they're ready to share their work to think about coming to the Carbondale Writers Group on the second Monday of the month.
Right.
I would think people might have to be convinced that it's a safe space.
And I think we do try to make it a very safe space because we do want them to feel comfortable to sit and read. I found for me that took a while to get comfortable thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be reading out loud. But when you start and settle in and read it, it really helps you hear your own work and hear yourself reading it and realize, oh my gosh, that should be, I should change that a little bit. And somebody else will comment and say, I like how you have this, but I would suggest that you change something about it. And it's like, yes, thank you.
The group was really instrumental in helping me early on in this book because there was, I don't want to give the story away, but there was a situation that happened that I made it sound like it was a really big deal to Liz, but her reactions to it didn't depict a really big deal. And some people in the writers group kind of went, you need to either change what happened or you need to change how she reacts because these things aren't in sync.
Yes.
And that was really helpful.
Writing such a solitary pursuit.
Yes.
I'm guessing that it's equally valuable just to talk about writing with other writers and have them talk about your
work.
Exactly. Yes.
Absolutely. So even if you don't have something to share or on months that I don't have something to share, I still leave incredibly motivated and encouraged.
Mm. Mm-hmm. How often does that Carbondale Writers Group meet and where?
It's a monthly meeting. Uh-huh. It's at the Carbondale Public Library. You actually have to be there before 6 o'clock because on Monday nights the library closes at 6. They allow us to make copies so that we've got copies to pass out of our writing so that everybody can have something in front of them. And then they lock us in the back part of the library. We're in the community room, mm-hmm. and we leave when we're done.
How about that? How many people are involved in that?
You know, it can be as many as 3. It can be as much as 13.
How about that?
So it varies a lot.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And that's the fourth?
No, the second
the
Monday.
Second Monday. And do people just call the library or do they just show up?
Can show up. Uh-huh. If they can't, I mean, if they show up and come to the meeting, I will get their name and put them on our email list and send out a reminder that Monday's the meeting.
Great.
So,
ladies, thank you so much. Linda Flynn, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And Liz and Corey Carnan, thank you.
Thank you.
And
good luck. Thank you for your time.
You're so welcome. It's always a pleasure to learn more about what's going on.
Yes.
It's been fun to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for your time.